Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports and Death.
Stanley, once again, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio on the system of the network, the always open, the smart, and coaching, the Lord, the bread, dear Lord. We thank you for the holiday. More importantly, that we will have your way. We thank you for the Lord, that you smart, and you grant. More importantly, Lord, we want your way to God. We ask you, let you do us come up. We want what we need, and we hope that what we need is also what we want. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus. Down to Christ, so we may have the right to the tree of life. One point is, Lord, you are the one and only true God, and your way is our way. We ask these blessings and thankful blessings forthcoming. Have come, did come, will come, all unmerited. May we die in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's that time. We told you to be live from Jeff Wong's, Manny Pacquiao, and Brandon Rios announced here in New York, and this is the media capital of the world, that they will fight. And let me get you the date on that. And let me put a couple calls will come in that will be, for those of you, as Rooney was said, uninitiated, Saturday, November 23rd, just before Thanksgiving, live on pay-per-view. Top Rank is doing it. HBO will do it. Pacquiao, 54-5-2, 38 knockouts. Against Brandon Rios, 31-1 and 22 knockouts. And let's go to a little music while we wait for the rest of the crew to join us. It's summertime, and hey, is there a better sound than cool in the gang? But there's summer madness. With that, we go live to Jeff Wong, Jing Wong, Muscles, Pacquiao, Brandon Rios. It's November 23rd. I think it is without question, the crossroads fight of Manny Pacquiao's life. Muscles?
I
hope I didn't silence you, but I think this is the crossroads fight of Manny Pacquiao's life. This is a big fight. He wins this fight very impressively. He's back into the Floyd Mayweather sweepstakes. He doesn't win this fight. They talk a lot. He's basically then a full-time politician.
Yeah. The way I see it is, I don't see this as a crossroads fight for Pacquiao. I see it more like a crossroads fight for Brandon Rios, if anything.
Wow. Okay.
I think Pacquiao needs to bring up, it's not a crossroads, it's pretty much more to see if he's still relevant, to see if he's, if even a Floyd Mayweather fight, which is pretty much scrap right now, it's something that can be brought back up into the media and a fight that, you know, finally can probably be made between the two combatants. Being that, you know, Pacquiao got knocked out against Marquez, he has to win, but not only win, but he has to do it in spectacular fashion. You know, he has to, I believe, knock Brandon Rios out, brutally knock him out. Pretty much a performance where he looks like the Manny Pacquiao who got rid of Miguel Cotto. Manny Pacquiao, who got rid of David Diaz and Oscar De La Hoya. He has to be that Pacquiao. If not, he could forget about a Floyd Mayweather fight or even his future as a star, as one of the top star fighters in the sport of boxing.
You surprise. I mean, you know, Aaron always talks about Pacquiao and always relates to his political side. Is this sort of a segue or a comfort zone or maybe somewhat an excuse if he doesn't prevail in this fight, and the fact that maybe he hasn't looked like Manny Pacquiao in the last couple of fights, is this where you say, well, you know what, he's put off a little too much more, he's wearing too many hats? Aaron redundantly makes acknowledgement of that. Let me go to Mike first. Mike, you know, Pacquiao, Brandon Rios. Muscles doesn't see this as a crossroads fight, but we do see it. If Pacquiao doesn't win this fight, Manny Pacquiao is just about off the charts when it comes to the boxing scene. I mean, I don't think he wants to be an opponent, but I mean, this is a fight. This is a must-win fight for Manny Pacquiao, Mike.
Doc, I don't like the fight. I don't like the fight.
Really?
I don't like the fight for Manny Pacquiao. First of all, I think it's probably the worst fight for him to take at this coming this stage of the game. When I talk to Brandon, one of the key things that I like to do is when I go to a press conference, I like looking in the eyes of each fighter and just seeing where their mental state is on the shine of the stage with this. And the thing with Pacquiao is, when I look at Pacquiao, it just seems very anxious to get back in there, again, show that he's still a reputable, top-notch fighter. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at Rios, I mean, this guy is not bothered. This guy just suffered a loss, too. But this guy is almost, like, more amped up because of the loss. Just loves to fight. And for a guy like Pacquiao, I look at this right now, here's a guy like Rios that can take a severe, severe punch. Keeps coming, I don't want to say eat punches because he almost took my head off for that today when I said that, though. I didn't mean that he didn't have any boxing skills. But this guy could take a severe shot and keep coming forward. He's not going to let up. At this point in the game, we don't know if we have a shell of Pacquiao in the ring, and we don't know if we have the old Pacquiao in the ring. So to find out, and I don't even think a fighter knows that until they get in there, if the body still is able to resume. Doc, you remember, we talked about this many times. Remember Ray Robinson used to say, I saw the openings, they just weren't there anymore. So, I mean, a guy like Rios is probably one of the most dangerous guys in a first fight back. You know, we saw it with Roy Jones, with Glenn Johnson. You know, the list goes on and on. So, I mean, I don't like the fight, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? Hold on. Let's Melker Cell Smith bring us into the sports definition, and I'm going to shoot this around as we all have a whole lot of questions. Mel, so Cell, AKA Little Coco, Rooney, bring us into the sports definition and telling us like it.
Doctor, the sports definition is here.
Correct.
Sports and Jeff Powell is here. I'm Mel Cook Jr. I'm here. Here, courtesy of the Trust in God, the Radio Network. The sports and Jeff Powell is here. And that is the
impossible.
Okay. Take it away, Doc.
And with that, real quick, you know that Sports in Depth on Talk Radio is brought to you by and our Brazilian connection. And once more time, it's Chipito. Late at night, you want to get it right, that's where you go for a late night sandwich, hamburger, or whatever. In Bella, for the laser. And you want to stay the place, Marina Park 8, number 5-star hotels in all of Brazil. Go Top and Dallas, the best number 3 star hotel in all of Brazil. That's where you go, just, you know, legendary. Tabajada, and also ECJ Productions, International Promoter. So there, here's Chico Tomasio Jr. We also shoot our shows from there. Broadcast live from there. So that's who brings you Sports and Depth here live. And now we will go back and talk to the crew. And, Mike, you said you don't like this fight. And the question has to be, then why is this fight made? Is the only fight available? I think people get tired of Marquez, and it seems like he's not going to go back to Marquez. Maybe Marquez wasn't available. I don't know. It seems to be a round robin. Brandon is part of the top ranked family now. So you got Rios fighting Pacquiao, top ranked fight, and you got Bradley and Marquez fighting. So if it's a fight you don't like, what was it that they saw to take this fight, or they just not taking it?
And not to be politically incorrect, but how many fighters do they have in the stable of top rank for him to fight? I mean, this is another issue that we got to address in boxing. I mean, as far as welterweights, if there was a round robin, where would we? You have Devin Alexander, Lucas Martins, you have a million fighters. This is the only fight that could be making the top rank stable if I would think so. So,
I like what you said very much, as a matter of fact, Mike and Don. And, Doc, we've had this discussion off air. Quite frankly, I've been after the hoping that Pacquiao retires for quite some time. I mean, he's been obviously a great fighter, but he's been in a lot of wars, throughout his career. And as you know, Doc, I'm a firm believer in a guy retiring a year or two too soon than a year or two too late. He has all the money in the world. He's been in a ton of wars. You know, I'm a big proponent of guys kind of walking away, like I said, a year or two early while they still have their, while they still have all their marbles and can spend all that money that they've made. And, you know, boxing has been too good to Pacquiao. He's been good to boxing. Quite frankly, I don't think he needs Rio's fight. I don't. I don't like the fight as much. I don't really like the fight. It's a very dangerous fight for him. I don't. If he wants to be a politician anyway, I suggest he pursue a second career.
That was something that was brought up at the press conference by Bob Ramsey. Cisco Kid rides back up with Matt Poncho. Cisco, you heard Mike feel that it's a bad fight. You heard Melko tell that he fears that Pacquiao should retire. Okay, express yourself.
Yeah, he's got it on the money. I mean, this fight is being made. One reason is Top Rank is going to keep the Top Rank. They're not going to choose any opponents outside of their staple.
Wow.
So
wow.
Brandon Rios happens to be part of their staple. Two is that what other fighter would they have chosen in their staple that would have brought them excitement and money? So, you know, they weren't going to fight, you know, a guy who you know, some tomato can or some guy we know that pack is going to blow right through and it's going to sell. They knew that. So they knew that they needed a name. They needed somebody who was, you know, who's going to bring an exciting fight, and that happened to be Brandon Rios. Is that a good choice? Probably not, because, I mean, we saw what happened with Roy Jones right after losing to Tarver. He jumps in again thinking he's still Roy Jones, and he gets knocked out again, and this time in a very terrible fashion. So, you know, Pacquiao just finished coming from a terrible loss. Brandon Rios is a puncher. He's, you know, he's a guy that's going to keep coming forward, take a licking to give, you know, take one to give one. And unless Pacquiao, I expect Pacquiao to try to box him, if anything, to try to win this fight. But if he wins a decision and it's not the Manny Pacquiao of old, they could forget about Floyd Mayweather. I mean, they have to, the old Pacquiao has to resurface in this situation, and that's probably it. And Brandon Rios has a lot to gain from this. Because if he wins, he can go and fight Alvarado again, you know, make it a third trilogy, make a lot of money, and he puts his name on the map. But you know, how long is this gonna keep going where you got, you know, two rivalries in Top Rank and Golden Boy? And actually Golden Boy seems to be gaining in this whole situation with the staple fighters they have, and, you know, recently signing to Showtime, the amount of fights they're putting on. I mean, Top Rank ship is slowly sinking, and if Manny Pacquiao loses, their ship will probably go down under. So we'll see what happens.
Cisco, could the reacquisition, I got a chance to talk to Todd Buff real quickly today, could the reacquisition of Miguel Cotto be a big part of Top Rank trying to stay afloat, Top Rank bringing in that backup name, Pacquiao, of course, if Brandon Rios is the biggest test out there for me, I will be ready to meet the challenge at Pacquiao. I've heard what Brandon has been saying. If he fights as well as he boasts, it will be a great fight for us at the fans. Rios is out with the new, and out with the old, in with the new. I'm the new. Manny, this is my time. Could that, and Mike and Mel Cassell here too, could that be one of the reasons why the re-entrance, the allowance, the remarriage of Cotto came in to help umbrella the name? I mean, Todd Buff did a great job. I know when Miguel left, Todd went to him and said, hey, look, you know, the door's always open, and I'm pretty sure that was why he came back, not for the Buff. Could this, starting with you first, Cisco, and then we'll go to, of course, Mike and Melka. So could this be, as you brought it to the table, could this be one of the reasons why Miguel Cotto is back, because they need the marquee name to keep the Top Rank banner floating?
Yes and no. I think it's Cotto was probably trying to find a deal with Golden Boy. Was probably trying to make a fight with Golden Boy, and it didn't happen. I mean, why would Miguel Cotto be fighting in Florida, for Christ's sake? A guy who's known here in New York for filling up the Garden. So I think it was, you know, I think Top Rank gladly brought him in because of the fact that he's not, you know, they don't have, they're slowly losing leverage to Golden Boy, and getting him back in the staple is an addition. But I think that it was Cotto trying to find the best deal he can, and Top Rank offered him a better deal than he was able to get from Golden Boy. So,
Mike,
you know, I think that's what happened there.
Mike, you heard Cisco. You concur. Cotto simply the best deal possible, and the best deal possible. Top Rank.
I mean, for him, it's got to be, because I mean, right now, you know, where does Cotto go? I mean, he's on the downside because of the Boston trial, again, who was beaten by Alvarez. I mean, he's the old man on the totem pole. And again, we don't, after watching Cotto last week, we don't know what Cotto's going to show up. Cotto's another one that's some waters. I mean, where did he go from there? I mean, if you look at the plantation.
Hey, Doc, I got to get out of here, man. Yeah?
Okay, Cisco, hold on. Cisco's got a right away gang don't move. Still kissed on the break. Cisco, real quick before you go, who wins this fight?
Who wins the fight?
Yeah.
I think if you look at the stats, you see the way
Pacquiao has fought in his last two fights. He hasn't really knocked out anybody. He hasn't looked like that Manny Pacquiao that we've seen against Cotto and Margarito. So I think that Brandon Rios has a shot. Unless he really gets outclassed and really beat up, I think that Brandon Rios is gonna land on Pacquiao. And I think we may see another Manny Pacquiao knockout. We may see him get knocked out all over again by this kid. So I'm giving the edge to Brandon Rios this time. I think Rios stands a chance of winning. Is he beatable? Yes. I mean, he just has one style of fighting. Where Pacquiao has a little bit more facets. But, you know, we don't know how his chin is going to hold up. And if anybody, right now, we haven't seen Rios get knocked out like Pacquiao did. So I'm giving up Brandon Rios the edge in his fight.
We'll find out. November 23rd at 9 p.m. The Venerian Monster live on pay-per-view in San Francisco. Right away to a puncher. We said, oh, thanks for the wine. And we'll see you next time. Knox Stanley, Block Talk Radio.
All right, man.
Okay.
All right, good job.
I tell you, on the Special Network, right away, but no, we still got right here. Celtic Jr. and Ringside Mike. Celtic Jr. Square and right here. 4-7. Block Talk Radio. God Radio Network. This girl, Maya Castillo,
I'd like to go on record, if I may, by saying that, I'm sorry, can you hear me out there?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead,
yeah, good doctor.
Is that Howard?
A bit of a hard time hearing you.
Oh, that's
I wanted to go on record, not to brag, Doc, but to my knowledge, I was the first journalist to predict that Carmelo Alvarez would beat Floyd Mayweather in their upcoming rumble. To my knowledge, I'm the first journalist who many, many years ago said that if that fight would happen, then I was predicting being the first loss on the record of Floyd Mayweather, and I still stick by that prediction.
Let me say, we well know it, and if he doesn't win, you will well know it, that we know that you were the first. Don't worry. If you don't win, we will definitely let you know.
Well, I want full credit because I said this against a wave of opposition that thought I was crazy and belonged in some institution, and I said that I believe firmly that Floyd's time has come, that this kid is young, this kid's strong, he's a banger, and that he's going to take it to Floyd and do something that many of Floyd's opponents have failed to do, which is work the body early and often.
Okay, I'm going to say two things here. You know what I mean? You said that we think you're crazy for saying it. Even if he wins, we will still think that you are crazy. Mike, your thoughts.
Yeah.
He says, you know, he likes Alvarez's chance of winning. As long touted the horn for Alvarez, we're getting away from the Brandon Rios Pacquiao fight. But your thoughts, I mean, everybody has a chance. Do you see Alvarez eventually or possibly beating Floyd Mayweather in their forthcoming fight?
I think it's two fights, like I said yesterday. I think it's two fights too early. I mean, he's got brute strength. He's got a puncher's chance, and he's
the
got unbelievable
banger,
skill.
Mike. The kid's a banger.
I agree with you 100%. I think he's really, really, really good. I think he's solid. I think this kid's got the whole package. There's only one problem that I see. When I saw the Trout fight, the kid's arsenal is all over the place. You know, I see Gaspar Ortega.
Cool.
I see Floyd
job,
Mayweather.
Yeah.
I see even fighting off the ropes. The problem is, even a guy that's a boxer like Austin Trout, even both of them in that fight fighting each other, I saw a half a second off. The slips were a half a second off. The problem that I have with a kid like this going in against a Mayweather, if Mayweather doesn't get old overnight, okay, if he doesn't get old overnight, the precision and the accuracy can be so detrimental to this kid. Coming in right now, it could destroy his career that could be so promising. So I think, you know, again, if I have to go on a pick, I say I think Mayweather's a surgeon. I think Mayweather does it. He outboxes the kid. Do I feel that Alvarez, I think he's going up in weight. I think he's too big, number one, for Mayweather. I think he's got a beautiful puncher, not even say a puncher's chance, but if he could put his skills to work against Mayweather, if the timing could get done right, then he does have, he probably could beat him overall. but I just think it's too early. I think it's two more fights are needed. I think he needed two more good fights against some quality opposition on that level. I would have liked to see him in the ring with Devin Alexander or somebody on that line before he fought a Mayweather. And you know, somebody that's a slick boxer like that. I think it's too soon.
You know,
again,
like
that's just my opinion.
Certainly learn and grow from the two fights from the type of opposition you mentioned. But let me tell you what I see. Let me tell you what I've been telling Doc and the you know, our incredible panel for some time that I see something in regard to this fight. I see something. And the Mel Smith Jr. crystal ball sees that, you know, although Floyd always has a great defense, the incredible hand speed, and as you said, and I concur, one of the most accurate fighters in boxing. I mean, his accuracy range is second to none, very accurate. It's something that he slowly, it's not super noticeable, but it's noticeable enough. He has the hand speed, Mike, still. He has the incredible defense, as I call it, giving you the shoulder. I still fall for the shoulder defense that he uses beautifully. However, he doesn't have the same legs that young Floyd has. I've noticed that in the last two fights. He still has the hand speed, still has the great defense. The legs aren't the same, Mike.
And like I said, it's going to be that one key factor. You're in a whole different. It's hard to judge these two fights in particular that we're talking about because it's like, you know, it's hard going the old with the new. When a fighter gets to a point where they get old, and Harold, I mean, the problem that we have is it's hard to see one night somebody gets old. You know what I mean? I like Mayweather. The last fight that I saw, I think that it's a little too much for the kid. You maybe see more than I see. I don't know.
Well, I saw some chinks in the armor in regard to the Cotto fight. Mike started to see some slight chinks in the armor.
I think right now, I think one of the key things is I want to see how Alvarez is going to deal with him when he has him on the ropes. When Alvarez presses the ropes, if Alvarez is able to take the shots that he can't see coming, that's going to be the answer to all the questions. I mean, it's when you get hit with a shot that's sharp and you don't see it, as you know, I mean, that's where it's going to be answered. I think your answer is going to be in the third, fourth round.
I mean, you're saying that if he had another two season fights, you would take him over Mayweather.
I think Canelo Alvarez, and again, I look at a guy, again, I had the benefit of being trained by different styles in my life. And one of the things that I remember, one of my great Mexican trainers, Gaspar Ortega, he showed me different ways of fighting, you know, especially on the ropes where you slide. Everybody tells you, oh, stay off the ropes. No, if you know how to fight on the ropes, it's a different level. And Alvarez, if you look at him, he's got every arsenal. He just so much as Mayweather. I mean, people don't give him credit for his boxing ability. Saw him against Trout, I just saw, I think the timing was just like a young green kick. Because if we look at, really, in retrospect, the man strength has not come in yet, okay? He hasn't received his man strength yet. He's not even close to his prime. The boxing, the win record, yes. You know, we've got guys like Carlos Baldemar and all these guys. But in reality, Shane Mosley, Trout is a solid win for him. It's a real win. I would like to see two more solid wins against the guys that, you know, give that shell defense, a movement defense. I mean, that's gonna be the key. He's got to see it. And if you don't see it, I mean, you could do it in the gym, but when you get hit with 8-ounce gloves on a major stage, it's a big difference. You know, but again, the kid, he could be like, hey, you know what? Doesn't bother me. He daps in the ring. We don't know. I mean, we've seen it in history time and time again. A guy gets old overnight. And just like
and
Derek Jeter.
Boxing a lot. Yeah, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And just going just like with Derek Jeter. You know, we're talking about this yesterday. Let's go at age. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. Change, please. You have Ray Robinson. I go back to the time when he was 37 years old and he fought, I think it was Tiger Jones, Doc? when he came back after tap dancing those years, you know, he suffered a loss. And when I was reading his biography, he went back into the mountains. He started running. He spiritually, mentally, physically found himself at a new point in his career. He had to adapt to his body in his late 30s. Again, one of the other guys, Derek Jeter in baseball, he did this when he went back when they had that HBO special. Is Mayweather, one thing I've got to know about Mayweather, is Mayweather going to be able to be humble enough to know that his body's going to change on him? You can't work out three times a day. You got to train early in the morning sometimes. Your body, it's mother time. There's nothing you can do about it. Father time. So
you're right, Mike. And the one thing that I did see, Doc, the one chink in the arm of young Alvarez, the one chink that I do wonder about, Doc, is he has got to come in much better shape with much better stamina in the Mayweather fight than he did the Trout fight. In the Trout fight, he took basically three or four rounds off, you know, because he was basically out of gas and out of steam. He can't afford to have that happen in the Mayweather fight.
Well, you know what? I tell you something. You know what? You can, you know, to a certain degree, let's go back and this NFL 411 is here with us. We've got him coming in and mentor. You know what? You know, Floyd is not a guy that's an aggressive fighter. I mean, you keep saying that he can't take these rounds. I mean, you know, Floyd's not the kind of guy that puts offensive pressure on you. And Floyd will throw one good left hand and he'll back off. He'll throw one good right hand and back off.
Yeah, but he's just dictating the pace, Doc. That's the thing about Floyd.
Well,
he usually fights at his pace.
Okay, we know what does the backup. I know. Floyd didn't show me a whole lot of pace his last fight against the Ghost Hughes. I mean, you know, Floyd is messing around today. But, you know, Mayweather has some flaws, too. You keep saying he can't afford to take rounds off. But, you know, Floyd does not put any pressure on you unless he forces him to put the pressure on to a certain degree.
Right on,
I mean,
the money, Doc. You're right on the
you
money.
You know what?
Right on the money.
And we haven't seen Floyd be aggressive since the Hatton fight. Okay, he got aggressive with Shane after Shane hit him. But you know, when you start hitting Floyd, he stays in the defensive mode. You know, to a lot of degree, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is a little bigger, a little better, a little improved Colonel Whitaker. But there's really no offense to Floyd Mayweather Jr. And I mean, he even said it last fight coming back, that classic line. Thanks so much. Those columnists might come in from an intellect like you would know this word. So he just said, you know, my dad said, the less you get hit, the longer you stay. So I don't think the taking off rounds, unless Floyd allows him to take the rounds off, and at the same time, what you keep talking about, is Floyd going to come up and take a chance on this boy hitting him too? So, you know,
guy's too
people
big
are talking
too, Doc. The guy, I have to cut you off.
Hey, Doc, I'm here for
big.
The press conference.
Dusty, just hold on. If you didn't bring us any ducks, just hold on, okay?
I'm sorry. I did bring it, but it's in my stomach.
That was a good spread, guys. How great was that spread, huh?
You know what? I was done.
Some spread, man.
Hold on.
I think he's attacking personally Whipple. That's why he's so happy.
Was that personally Whipple? What's that, Wings?
I think he brought Pacquiao personally with him from the press conference. That's why.
Oh, he had to. And listen, if you brought Pacquiao, you can believe Lee Samuel. He may be walking Roscoe, but he's going to be back in the house with him to get something to eat. You know, there's no question about that. You know,
hey, Dusty.
Yes.
Where do you stand on today after you saw the press conference? We were talking about the Pacquiao fight. What was your take on actually looking those guys in the eyes and seeing where everybody's at? What do you think?
Well, you know,
hold on. That's your thing.
Okay,
you know,
hold on. I'm still around here, moseying around, looking for more Peking duck, but it's okay.
hey, Jesse, no, but this fight too. This fight is coming from the Dakota Arena. That's from China, right?
In Macau. Yeah.
Macau. Yeah. I mean, so this is the first fight we've ever had come from there.
Go ahead. Whoever's talking, I'm sorry.
You got Doc, I think it's their second venue there. I think it's at the Venetian, am I correct?
I believe it's the third. Okay. I believe it's the third, if I can cut in. I believe it's the third because of the fact that he hooked up with the Oriental boxing market. That was a very smart move. And he brought in that Olympian, 400 amateur fights, two-time Olympian, Xiao Ming. And the dude was being paid $400,000 in his pro debut.
Wow.
And then he brought him in last week. He fought another guy. And he was getting like half a million. And
wow.
He's on the card with the Pacquiao Rios thing. He is the moneymaker. Now, that was a very smart move. And I think I told you this, Doc. I'm surprised if you didn't mention it to the panel, that how can you call yourself a world champ if you fight in your backyard and don't travel all over the world or east or west or north? That's a world champ to me, like Ray Robinson was or Muhammad Ali, without getting into that debate. But here, Bob Arum, very smartly with his hassles with Golden Boy and Mayweather Promotion, says, let me go east, like Horace Brickley says, Brickley, go east. And he found a market there dying to put a fight up there. And this is how he's doing it. If you had spanned the camera when they had these two other fights in the Orient, the place was jammed. The place was jam-packed. Tomas Adamek, to throw in another example, fought Vitaly Klitschko, not in Russia. He fought him in Poland, his hometown. He took a $1 million beating, but he also made $3 or $4 or $5 million, man. So, you know, you got to go to these foreign countries that are dying for spectacular fights. Getting back to Pacquiao and Rios, this is going to be a phone booth war, no matter what they
it
say.
It is.
Pacquiao's going to box, and Brandon's going to do this, and Brandon learned from the Alvarado fight when Alvarado in the last three rounds started boxing, this, that, and the other. These guys are going to say, referee, sit down, forget the bell, bring in the phone booth, and we're going to fight in there. That's the way I see it, okay? The only edge is that Pacquiao is a little better boxer, thanks to Freddie Roach, than Brandon Rios, okay? Now, if Roach is the master technician that he is, he's proven it to me when he took that Olympian and turned him into a boxer. You should have seen this guy improve from one fight to the next. That's basically what it is. So today it's a breakthrough. I really enjoy the fact that they're going to the East and bringing in a lot of Orientals, you know. And, of course, they're duplicating Canelo and Mayweather. They're going all over the world publicizing them. Robert Garcia told me that they had just come from Macau for 2 weeks, and they were well-received, this, that, and the other. They enjoyed the travel. They traveled like a minstrel circus traveling all over the world publicizing what they have to sell. And who knows what's going to happen? You know, it could top Canelo and Mayweather.
Hey, that's what's going to happen is Alvarez is going to hand Mayweather his first loss. That's what's going to happen. And that's what I've been predicting for months. That's what's going to happen.
I have 85% surety of Mayweather and a 15% in my back pocket that Alvarez is going to pull it out. Why? What's his Achilles heel? Hit and run, hit and miss, Mayweather. How long can he do that with a rushing bull? Mayweather's never been much of a body puncher. He does all the Klitschko's. He just pick and slap, and no body punching. He's going to have to slow down this dude who has the build of a Tim Tebow to slow him down and then take him downtown. That's the only way he can do it. But
this kid is super strong, Doug. And I'm trying to tell you, and I've been telling Doc in the panel for months, if this fight goes the distance, and the crowd will indeed be favorable to Alvarez. If the fight goes the distance, Alvarez is getting the Duke, Doc. I'm telling you right now. If that fight goes 12, Alvarez is getting the Duke. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, absolutely. But you see, you have to look at the dudes. Alvarez has a little stamina problem. Okay?
Yeah,
he has a little stamina problem. He can fight and go after you, but in the eighth or ninth round, you see him puffing and huffing.
I just mentioned that to Doc and Mike. Just before you came on the air, I mentioned that stamina problem. Good job by you. Good job.
And one thing I got to say, guys, is
right,
many people don't understand. And again, you guys have been around fighting longer than I have. One thing I do notice about this cat over here, Alvarez, he don't like to be uncomfortable either. He's a rhythm fighter. I mean, he doesn't like to be uncomfortable. So the thing is with Floyd, you know, and again, when you study Floyd, I look at him, they always look for angles. You know, you watch a guy like James James Toney's a different, you know, he's got a two-dimensional style, but, you know, he's great at what he does. Floyd changes the pace of the fight every
round.
it's unbelievable. So is this kid, is the stamina going to be a problem early on with Floyd changing the pace up? I mean, that's another question that you got. There's so many different variables into this fight.
Hello? Yeah, hello. I can hear the rest of the crew. Hello? Anybody with me? I hear somebody online.
I'm here. Who's that, Harold?
No, this is Marcus Jr. Who's this over here?
Oh, that's Michael.
Hey, Mike, where's everybody else? Everybody's disappearing at. Hey, Mike, I tell you what, Floyd better be able to disappear like this if he doesn't want to lose that Rumble to Alvarez, I'll tell you that.
That's my cue.
Hey, Mike,
too,
but seriously, the one thing about Floyd that I really do seem like about this is, hey, that kid goes to the body early and often, Alvarez, and for the most part, none of Floyd's opponents have consistently gone to the body for the entire for the fight, Mike. This kid goes to the body early and often. He's very strong.
Let me ask you a question. You think he could land hit again? You think it could be effective body punch or not? Is the question. You think he's going to know to hit the hips?
I think he can, Mike. My only problem is, like I said before Dusty said and kind of piggy-tailed what I said, the kid does have a problem with stamina. I mean, after a few rounds, he's getting serious, mouth open a bit. And I don't have to tell you, you're a great fighter. Mouth's open a bit, he's breathing hard through the nose. He does have a bit of a problem with stamina. I'm sure they're going to be working on that with him. But if he
not
can have any type of, but if the kid can have some type of prolonged attack, especially to the body going down and up, I think he has a shot, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's going to all come down to, I think that there's going to be so many different variables that are going to be on the table in this fight. I'm really interested in seeing the fight. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it because I think there's going to be so many questions that everyone's going to have, and we're not going to be able to answer them until the rounds come in. But I don't like, that's another fight I don't like. I just don't think Floyd needs to take it. I mean, the guy's going to be a middleweight. You know what I mean? The guy's so much more physically bigger than him. And it's just like with this fight. I don't like the Rios fight either. When I look at these two guys today, Brandon's so much bigger than him. I mean, it's
very
tough one to call. But on that note,
right.
I do have to run. I got to go. We're on our way to a Mets game. So I got to jump on the...
Go Mets. Let's get David Wright back out here and then doing something with that ballpark
Something.
Over
I just Something. I will talk to you guys tomorrow, I guess, man. So we're going to be on daily from now on.
Hey, I don't know what the deal is yet, Mike, but I'm sure we'll be tuning in to see. Always a pleasure, and have a good one.
Same here. Take care of yourself.
All right, now. Doc, calling everyone. Oh, well, I guess that leaves me as a solo act. Well, folks, this is a Sports in Depth. With me, Meltzer Jr., the Sports in Depth panel, the Sports in Depth Nation, and so long for now.
We're not signing off, folks.
We are back.
We're signing away.
Do we have a bit of technical difficulty?
Some of the panel is dropping from us. You're right. You know what I mean? But you didn't even need the music. You just went right into it. I like your style. Once again, Pacquiao Rios, Manny Pacquiao, or Brandon Rios. That's Saturday, November 23rd, 9 p.m., 6 p.m. It's happening.
Did I get cut off or I'm back? Oh.
No, go ahead, Roy. With that fight in the Far East, Rios, we saw him live here at Madison Square Garden, championship fight. He came in overweight. He's got Garcia, I think, trainer of the year, as Lady A talked about. I guess that's going to be a big factor in him coming in shape. The consensus is
he is the younger guy. The consensus, he is the stronger guy. The consensus is he has a very good chance of winning this fight, Dusty.
Yeah, well, he has a good chance, you know. I didn't see, am I on? I don't know who it was. Pacquiao did not seem to be shot or weather-worn like I told you last time when before he fought Bradley. I saw him then beat up, and I said, geez, Doc, you know, I don't think Pacquiao was ready for this. He looks gun-shy, beat, you know, distracted. Today I saw a different Pacquiao. Maybe that year, almost a year layoff, rest period from the Marquez fight, was it something, what, 8, 9, 10 months or something? Maybe that gave him the incentive to, you know, I mean, brought back his mental and physical health. That's what I meant. They were talking about the fact he's walking around with early signs of dementia. I don't see anything today. I mean, I was really, you know, busybody that I am, I was really looking for him to stumble around and his hands shaking and all that, and nothing. He seemed sharp pre-Margarito. He seemed that sharp. So I guess maybe that's what he needed. And maybe he needed, like he said, I didn't want to take any tune-up. I want to take the best out there. That's why I chose Rios. And Rios is, of course, he says, you know, this is my shot. I mean, you know, this is what I've always wanted. I'm glad they picked me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, they're going to give the best out there. But does Pacquiao still feel the after effects of the Marquez fight? You know, you don't really overcome a knockout that devastating.
And the he was
out cold before he hit the canvas, just like Ricky Hatton was out cold when Pacquiao hit him, just like Paul Williams was out cold when Martinez hit him. Your body is dead weight.
That's another guy I think should retire, Doug. I think Martinez is another guy who's made at least later in his career.
You know, and I agree with you because he didn't know he lost his fight the last time in Argentina. He lost it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
On top of that, he broke another bone. That's why he said in an interview that he wasn't going to fight again or go to the gym till after the new year. So that's a long time recovery. He's been under the sable as longer than Derek Jeter, for all I know. But the fact of the matter is,
you know, something that's funny. You know, Doug, just in passing, hey, Doc, I didn't want to switch because, you know, boxing is a sweet science and I love it. But, Doug, I have to say, you know, I dare say, I don't know if, you know, maybe I'm being just a little overly dramatic. I don't know if Jeter said his last game as well as a Yankee.
Rooney, I saw something, and on the real side, you know, I've been redundantly saying this. And I said, you know, he was supposed to come back in spring training. Then he was supposed to be ready for opening day. Then he was supposed to have been ready by the All-Star game. Derek Jeter is still not ready, and Derek Jeter may not ever be ready again.
Doc, you're right, Doc.
Especially,
basically, you know, basically, you know, he's showing his age.
He's 39.
That was a bad break. A bad break on his ankle. If you saw the films over and over and over again, the guy's injury, in my estimation, was almost as bad as when Monty Irving turned a double into a triple and slid into third base.
He compound fractured his left ankle. Say that because
he was never the same.
It gives me a chance to walk into the Sports and Depth Trust and Guard Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. I have sometimes years ago, I found these big beer, and it had pictures of Monty Irving, Whitey Ford, and Richie Ashburn. And I got a chance to give all three guys autograph it. And Monty said his biggest day in baseball. I remember the opening day of the 1951 World Series when, for the first time ever, he had an all-black outfield: Willie Mays, Hank Thompson, and Monty Irvin. Monty Irvin went 4 for 5 that day and stole home.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, but what I was referring to is Jeter's injury. He has not recovered, and maybe he lucked out now with that 4-year contract, it was $50 million or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood, Doug.
Yeah, and he got injured, and then now Mr. Goody Two-Shoe can go in the front office. I don't want him as a freaking coach or batting instructor or an instructor for shortstop. BS. You can go in the front office and
the thing you talked about with Monty, though, I want to get back. You know that was, you know, he meant it. The greatest player that ever played, ever full player, but Willie Mays. And, you know, Mays hit the ball. And when Irving, Monty Irving was actually the first guy picked to be the first black player in Major League Baseball history. Harvey Farmer, who's been on the show, said he knows him quite well. Monty said he'd kill somebody. But the thing here is that it was Willie Mays who got the base hit. And I think he's good in the third. Anyway, Mays cried. Mays said he never should have got that hit. Irving was the first African American to lead a league in RBIs as that particular year. Bobby Thompson had gotten hurt and came back, and they put Thompson at third. Irving went back out into the outfield, and the rest they say is history. But yeah, he was actually the guy picked to be the first black player. Those cans. Each one had a Whitey Schwartz said that the biggest day of his career, 1961 World Series, when he had the Brooke Babe Ruth shutout streak and won the MVP in the same year he won the Cy Young Award. Irving talked about that first game in the World Series. Richie Ashburn talking about the last game they played against the Dodgers in the Ebbets Field when he threw out a runner at the plate to keep the game and go into extra innings, and they wound up winning the game. You know, one thing about this, the fight of the decade, Manny Pacquiao makes his 2013 debut against one of the boxing's most exciting fighters, former world champion Brandon Rios. If Horace Greeley were a boxing promoter today, he would undoubtedly be expounding, "Go East, young man," and in boxing's biggest demonstration, a manifest destiny. Fighter of the decade, Congressman Manny Pacquiao, and former world champion, reigning million. Brandon Bam Bam Rios will battle each other in a 12-round welterweight rumble Saturday, November 23rd from the Venetian Maceo Kota Arena in Maceo, China. Promoted by Top Rank and Sands China Limited, association with MP Promotions. Tequila Pacquiao against Rios will be produced and distributed live on pay-per-view HBO beginning at 9 p.m., 6 p.m. Standard Time. I think the First Lady, we've got the First Lady of boxing, not only here at SIND Radio, but in all of the world. The one and only who always, as the great goof in Vogue said, gives us something that we can feel. She gives us something that we can feel and learn. And she is here with us now. She was too hot. Press conference. We had Mike broadcast Mike as we did for Kid Dusty the day of back in the studio. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here. Let's see, guys. Love you. You want to know? Hey. This is a fight that unquestionably, without any doubt, without any question, this is a fight that Manny Pacquiao needs to win. And he needs to win in a very fashionable way to once again keep his mockability.
Absolutely.
Hello to everybody. Dusty, you got back in time to make the show?
Oh, my.
You got back in time to make the show, Dusty.
Man, before
you get started, I want you to know that I see something.
Oh, no, God. Here we go. Break out the crystal ball, Dusty. No, listen.
I ate my way to Chinatown.
Dusty,
what is it?
Dusty, I don't know if you got a chance to talk to Pacquiao. Did you? Or when you were up there? No?
I did. I got a chance to talk to Pacquiao. He was rambling around, but... usually there are times where so many questions are duplicated that I just listen
right.
and pick up.
Right.
Did you get anything special out of him?
I was telling Doc on Dusty that one of the things that you and I were sitting next to each other, we were both at wow to was that when Lee Samuel said Pacquiao won't be fighting anymore in the United States. I thought that was pretty crazy because they're going to charge him 40% for taxes.
Oh yeah, so the freaking taxes. You see. That's Bob Arum has been saying that Pacquiao has been crying the blues for the longest time. They couldn't find a venue to get out of the U.S. And because of Bob Arum's, I guess, astuteness or connection with a Chinese connection, forgive me for saying that, I mean, he found a venue where Pacquiao, now is not going to be hit with all these tax bills.
What I was going to say was, one of the things that I found, too, that was really interesting is how Bob Arum kind of tried, you and I were sitting next to each other when he said that, was how he was trying to spice up the pot and offering the press $1,500, offering the press that getting them kind of like a discount to go to China for $1,300 and stay there for 7 days, and they're going to provide a hotel.
Provide a hotel, car service, but I didn't see him mention any geisha girl service. What's wrong with him?
I hear you. You know, I'll tell you this. You could see how he's, and I don't know if you sensed this in the conference, you could see how he's trying to maintain the luster with HBO to compete with Golden Boy on Showtime.
Exactly.
You could see how he's trying to, push a lot of this, these fight cards and all this like glamour on HBO now that he has competition.
You're absolutely right. You picked up on it. You're absolutely right, because now if you see Showtime is in trouble. The Mayweather-Canelo fight is in trouble. Why? Because Showtime is under CBS, and CBS is fighting with Time Warner. They blanked out all cable shows, all network series
of
Showtime.
Showtime
is in trouble.
CBS also is blacked out.
CBS owns Showtime.
It's an affiliate, right?
They own Showtime. They own Showtime. That's why everything is out. All those series.
Hold on. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Sports is Death. Tony Ranger's in-depth look and perspective at the athletes and the sports that are played. But the first intellect of my panel, and Doc is bragging. They're talking stuff beyond the scope of sports. They're taking you into what's happening in the rest of the world. And this is why when you tune into Sports in Depth, you always leave you with an education, not only in sports, but in life. These are not the best people. They're the absolute best. Mel Cosell, a.k.a. Little Rooney, a.k.a. Little Coco, Lady A, Dusty H. Red Brown X, Lois Jr., Harold, Double Vowel, Harold Weston Jr., Nate B. Berger, Baseball, Francisco, the Cisco Kid, Cincinnati Sea Wings, here, you get Mike at ringside. You just don't get a, when you tune in here, it may say Sports in Depth, but what we bring you is the world and life in depth. And once again, they just somehow they always gravitate to what the ladies have. Somehow they always gravitate to what you need to know. It's no coincidence. This is the best. Right here on Sports in Depth, the crew, the posse, the legendary crew. Once again, let me back off. Gentlemen,
okay,
and young
ladies,
have your way.
If you stop this intellect, nothing, send me the check, man. That's right. My intellect comes out of...
You got to let them go, Dutch.
My intellect comes out of green.
Hey, Dutch, you got to let Doc introduce us, because it's like a J. Arthur Rank movie, a cast of thousands.
I'll tell you this, Dusty.
Yeah.
One of the things that also stood out with me, during the whole press conference was being able to talk to Robert Garcia. And, you know, I mentioned to him our little conversation about Quan Hunt getting beat down by his brother. And I said to him, I said, I got to tell you something, man. You beat my man's ass. And he looked at me. I go, yeah, why am I? So he started laughing. I said, it's not even like you beat him. You beat his ass.
he did.
Yeah, he said that his brother might be going up to 130, which would be interesting, I think.
Well, I don't want him to go up to 130 until, I told Robert that before you got in, I didn't want him to go up to 130 until he fought Abner Maris. That's going to be a monster. That, and
yeah.
He says, well, your Golden Boy is working on it, you know, we don't know yet. I said, come on. That's the next step, man. Who else is Nikki going to fight?
He better have a super-duper protective cup, because I think Abner Maris owns the record for the most low blows, like 27
exactly.
In that one fight he had against one fight.
Yeah, low blow Maris.
He'll be like Stanky and Alfalfa catching a beating with the book on his head.
No, but that's going to be a fight. That's going to be a good fight. Abner Maris has improved. He hasn't fouled too many times. And Mickey is a tough machine, man. And he says, well, Golden Boy's working on it, whatever they do. I said, come on, man, you can't tell me anything. That is the next fight.
I was pretty impressed with how he fought Juanma. But, I think in that fight he broke his nose, right?
I don't know.
I think that's the fight he got his nose broken in.
Oh, no, that was a Salido. Salido. See,
Let
me tell you something. That was a punk decision, and I'll tell you why. A man gets a broken nose, he can't breathe, and they have to stop the fight, and then he's ahead on points, and he wins the title. That's bull crap. That's bull crap. You fight with a broken nose, bleed like a broken faucet, give blood to the Red Cross. It doesn't matter.
That's part of the game. I'm sorry. You compare him to Victor Ortiz? I don't deserve to get beat like this.
I'm not comparing him. I'm not comparing him to Victor Ortiz or anybody. The name of the game is anything goes. You got to bust that eye. You got to deal with it.
Jesse, you have to stop.
Wait, hold on. I was just going to say this. The point is it's boxing. You got to keep fighting. It's boxing, right?
Boxing, you're right.
Hold on.
No, you said it. You're right.
Everybody hold up. Dusty, you have to quit thinking people are fighting today like you did. You have to quit thinking these guys have class, heart, and character. And these are baseball players who can't play, okay, because you got turf toe. What the hell is turf
toe? But that's exactly what it is. You're running a daycare center now.
You get guys who, you know what, I got a touch of the flu, I'm not going to play. You're playing baseball, you sit down every inning. I mean, Lady A, too. I mean, you're talking about two of the connoisseurs of not only this sport today, Walt. I mean, there's nobody around who knows the sport better than these two people. But you have to understand, we're living in a different era, okay?
Ruining the different era, because that was nonsense. He wasn't bleeding, he wasn't staggered, nothing. They stopped it, he couldn't breathe through one nostril, so they stopped it and they gave him the title. That was like, he got an early Christmas present. You don't do that. You earn.
Wow.
You're not given. You earn.
I think it's eighth round.
Chris Arreola. Yeah. Did you see that fight with Chris Arreola? He fought a heavyweight from Haiti.
Wait, who?
He fought a guy from Haiti. He's a very good heavyweight. The freaking guy fractured Chris Arreola's nose in the second round. Arreola went the whole 12th round gushing blood all over the place. Did they stop it? No. He lost the decision, but they didn't stop it.
Mickey Garcia was not
bleeding. There was nothing wrong with him. He was beating
back.
The crap out of Salido.
We're going back to what you say, and again, I want everybody to forgive me for, again, agreeing with Dusty, okay? Maybe it's not like me. It must be the water. But what you're saying, Dusty, it's a lot
no,
of...
It must be the Peking duck. Go ahead.
They had duck today, but I didn't get any good duck. When they took it to Dusty's table, I didn't see it again. But the thing is, a lot of this is what you said. A lot of this is political and the weak-kneed commissions to even allow. I remember what Richard Schaefer said and you was there, Dusty. Richard Schaefer said at the press conference for Alvarez and Mayweather, the man who Rooney sees something for, but he said something that was profound. He said, you know what, there are too many people in the ring, and the high populace, the high percentage of people in the ring, he said, will commission people. I mean, you know, he said, we got to do something safety-wise. I mean, so a lot of what you have always said about the commissions is a lot of the problem with boxing today.
Yeah, but you see, Doc... partially I agree and partially I don't, and I'll tell you why.
Oh,
that
man,
was
give me my That was Schaefer's
cop-out excuse to release Melvina Latham from the responsibility of making sure that ring was safe. Somebody fell asleep at the switch. That ring was denting. Benji Estevez, the referee, brought it to her attention before the Broner and
yeah, I was just gonna say, she went
out to it and she waved it on. The show must go on. Suppose somebody had gone to the freaking canvas. Suppose it collapsed. So
right,
suppose it was a knockdown because the ring was soft and you scored a knockdown. That's an 8-10 round. That makes you a loser.
Went right over to Melvina Latham and said, "Hey, the ring, blah, 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 blah.
She just waved it on, the fight goes on. It's not too many people. There is a tensile strength. Now, I've been in the construction business. I've investigated. That's my career, man, making sure everything is up to par. And you don't put public, no matter who it is, into an area like that unless all the pieces are in place. He said something about one of the guys that forgot to put in the support bar underneath. He said, "Are you for real?" that went over your head. Didn't you hear him say that? He should have.
Yeah.
One of the guys was supposed to put a support bar. He didn't do it. So that ring was faulty.
It was unsafe.
Unsafe, whatever.
And thank God no one was hurt.
Exactly.
You know?
It didn't matter. It didn't matter whether you had 1,000 people in that ring. It's supposed to hold. It's called the tensile strength.
Wow.
Body
dang,
weight.
Wow. Once again, this is not only an education, but exposure of Where the real fault lies. No, you're right, Dusty. Whether you have 100 people, 200,000 people, it should have the sufficient support necessary to hold 10 elephants if you had it in there. You know, and I'm not trying to put Rooney in your venue. I mean, have you ever had those sort of problems where the ring didn't hold up, Rooney?
Oh, yeah, Doug. I've seen it not so much with TNA or WWE, but I've seen some of the lesser promotions, man, where the damn ring basically broke down in mid card. Yeah,
exactly.
I see the Doc Frank Franklin.
What I was going to say is you're not talking about something as minute or something that's not as severe as, you know, something dealing with gloves. You're talking about something that really a structure itself could really kill somebody. Someone could really get hurt. We're not talking about a difference between 8-ounce gloves and 12-ounce gloves. This is something that's really severe. Someone could have really gotten hurt, you know. And even people at ringside had that thing collapse and they're sitting very close to the ring. Who knows who could have been affected, you know?
Absolutely. The bell ringer, the judges, all those people with their chins on the photographers.
The cameraman on the tables, too.
Yeah. You're hearing these problems about the ring and stuff like that. You greatest matchmaker, you and Teddy Brennan.
Is that Harold?
Yeah, hey, listen, here we go with this.
I'm going to say this to everybody. Harold is the man because I use this recipe and I got better. So any medicine that in the future, I'm going to him because he knows how to provide me with the medicine I need to get better.
Oh,
boy,
give me
steroids.
Bye.
Don't worry about
it.
Anytime, lady.
Oh, my.
The medicine
I need to let him just, this is sports, this ain't the love connection. Yeah, that's Carol and Lady A with that same old yang. You know what I mean? It ain't the love connection. Hey, did you hear that? Because Carol provides me with the medicine that I need. You know what? Show's over. We're gone. We're out of here. Go on. Dr. Kelly's wasn't there. We're leaving, man.
Now
show's
I know
up.
Why they call him Double Barrel Weston.
Give us some insight on ring problems during your tenure as the greatest matchmaker in MSG.
What the problem is, Doc, and I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Everybody wants to be a star, okay? Everybody wants to get in the ring to be seen and be on TV. So they can go back in their little neighborhood and say, I saw you on TV. And that's all it is, man. You know, they got a rule in the boxing commission that they don't enforce, that there's only supposed to be certain people in the ring. It's a rule in the boxing commission. It's on the books.
That's right.
And they only follow their own books.
Exactly. All right, Doc, why do you have
Harold on a soapbox?
Don't you know gangsters don't dance
and boogie?
Come on, baby. you know what's up. Come on, stop it.
Oh, my. You're terrible today, you're terrible.
Don't even,
man. Quick thing, Doc, that I wanted to throw in just quickly. When you said that I ever have, an experience with the broken down rings, and the lesser promotions, yes. The only thing that I have seen, post is the pyrotechnics that both TNA, which stands for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. I've seen that, and I've also seen the WWE have trouble with the pyrotechnics go off. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that at one of the venues of WWE, the pyrotechnics man started a small fire in the arena. Thank goodness the crowd had started to fill in yet. But, yeah, sometimes they have trouble with the pyro, Doc.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that they're only supposed to have four men in each corner, and that's the top in your corner. You don't supposed to have 20 guys in the ring. The boxing commission put that in there years ago, 100 years ago. And the point is that, like I said, all these guys that get in the ring wants to be on TV. And I think the reason why everybody started doing it, because Don King became famous, he was always on TV, and everybody's following that suit. That's all it is. But if the boxing commission, which is now, they don't even have control of their own the boxing, is that if they just put their foot down and you had some boxing commission that would do the, follow the rules, then you have order in this boxing. But boxing has completely been way out of order a long time ago. Because it looks like the promoters are pretty much running the show and doing what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I think that if they got a World Boxing Commission organization, they should all have their certain rules set down. But, it's the saddest thing in the world to take a great sport that I've seen. And I'm going to say right off, when the gangsters was in it, yes, at least they had some rules they followed, and at least it was conducted properly. We're class.
Hey, hold on. Let me ask you this. They're supposed to inspect it prior to actually boxing, and then do they do it during? Do they do it during the event, or no, just prior and that's it?
What, the guys getting in the ring?
Yeah, like, are they supposed to inspect the ring? They're supposed to inspect, obviously, before.
Absolutely.
Right?
Between 15 guys. They wouldn't even know how to throw a combination.
You know, it reminds me, like Mayan Borges say, you know, when Max Cummins started out, he was given boxing advice at 12 years old, and he had never even been in a love fight, more or less a fight. Nobody moves, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's just,
Network. And one more time, we are brought to you by Chiquito's for the latest number one takeout spot late at night, Saudi Raza Restaurant, Luis Souza's Pride and Joy, the number three best in all of Brazil, Chiquito's, Tabajara, and Marina Parque, the top five-star hotels in all of Brazil. And with that, it's time to get back to Double Barrel Harold Weston Jr., Dusty H. Red Brown X, Cell, Cell, a.k.a. Little Kelco, a.k.a. Rooney's, Cincinnati Series, a.k.a. Mr. NFL 41, Nate B. Burger Baseball, Cisco Kid Dutchman, and of course, legend herself, the number one female in all of boxing world, intellect, beauty, and just plain know what she's talking about. Lady A, let's get back as we get back to sports and death. Radio. Let's go ahead and work. We're talking ring problems. In fact, this man took one of the greatest fighters in history, came in the ring, and he was one of the greatest fighters of the time. First and only, I remember Max McMahon, this week, as well as our Double Barrel Harold Weston Jr. Now, you were talking, adding some addition to our talks about the problem with the ring. A little quick note how we get back. We'll let you know. We started off, we're talking about the Manny Pacquiao Ben Rios fight Saturday, November 23rd. That's going to be in China. Some quick things. It will be produced and streamed live by HBO Pay-Per-View beginning at 9 p.m., 6 p.m. out on the coast. It's a situation where we're looking at Manny Pacquiao. Everybody's talking about the decline of Manny Pacquiao, but, you know, looking at the notes here, he's ranked number two by the WBO at 147 pounds. In championship fights, he's 13-3-2 with 8 knockouts. Media-wise, you want to take a need a contact. Lee Samuels, 702-378-1083. He's taking care of Rios, Ricardo Jimenez, Fred Steinberg, Pacquiao, if you need him, and the number one PR man of all the boxing, but one of the greats of all time, Ed Keenan. One more time, Lee Samuels, if you need some stuff about Brandon Rios, media contacts, 702-378-1083, lee@toprank.com. Ricardo Jimenez, 909-615-3436. Fred Steinberg is taking care of Pacquiao. That's 303-548-0707. Email to Fred at AOL.com. And the number one PR man of all of boxing, Ed Keenan, 609-399-1330. Ed Keenan, 609-399-1330. Keenan at MC Events. And I can say here that so many of the media has missed Ed Keenan, who had a handle. He had a wherewithal. He knew who, what, when, and where. A lot of guys have been crying lately because credentials have been denied because the PR people have no sort of sense or realization of who should be and who shouldn't be. Keenan, I guess you could say, is the alley of PR guys today. But now, let's go back. Let's go back to the last great matchmaker. And when he left Madison Square Garden, they can say without question, not only did the lights go out, the walls fell down and the building tumbled. Ladies and gentlemen, Double Barrel Harold Weston Jr. Harold, you were bringing up another point about these ring issues.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you just got a commissioner that's not really as strong and forceful in the things that they do. I mean, they the craziest things that they're doing with all these stupid rules that they're coming up that don't even make sense. You know, I was listening earlier where, you know, a guy get his nose broken in a fight. They stop the fight, and then they give it to him because he got his nose broken. Hey, that's insane. We're there to hurt each other. It's not. That's what he's supposed to do. You can't go on. You should lose. You know,
exactly.
That's the bottom line. I mean, but these, you know.
It's a title fight, too, Howard. Title fight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd be protesting all the way, too. But my point is that you got these so-called, they got these rules talking about safety. There ain't no safety. What you're doing, they're turning the public away because the public is seeing that you don't even know who's going to win the fight when you see the person win the fight. That's what's so bad about it. And we're going to keep going on like
you know,
that.
You know,
you know,
Doc, I wanted to ask Howard too, as a matchmaker, what his opinion is. Dusty and I had a conversation with Lee Samuels today about the tax issue with Pacquiao, and that he's going to be taxed 40% if he was to fight in the United States. My point is that I was wondering if I could ask Harold, this basic question is, how does he feel if other guys were to piggyback on the same idea with taxes being an issue here in the United States? I mean, it would mean like a lot of boxing events would take place out of the country. How would that have an impact on boxing?
Lady A, let me just say something to you, dog. That's been going on for 100 years in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They've been taxing fighters coming from where, from out of state. So it doesn't make no difference where is
okay.
where they go. The point mm-hmm. is that they got to come to the United States to get the exposure, to get
mm-hmm.
the money, if they're going to
mm-hmm.
make it. Pacquiao can do what he do now because he's established. But for
right.
other fighters, ordinary fighters, they can't pull that. You only can
right.
pull that off is when you are known around the world. You cannot
right, right.
pull that
okay.
off if you Joe Schmo. We don't care nothing about you. You got to
right.
be a real established guy to pull that off. Pacquiao can talk, but Pacquiao's out the door anyway. You see what he's put? He ain't doing it in the last 4 years, so it don't make no difference now. Who cares?
Right, right.
So now, you know, if he wants to fight over there in China, if he wants to go to the moon, it doesn't make no difference because he's only going to be here, what, another year if he makes a year? My point is that it doesn't
have three
no
more
meaning.
Fights and he's gone. He said three more fights and he's finished.
A lot of that, I think, too, is based on, you know, if he wins or not. I mean, he really has to win this fight.
But you got to
understand. He really has to win this fight.
But, lady, you got to understand, it don't mean anything no more. He got knocked out. He can't, there's no challenge out there for nobody want to see him. The Mayweather fight is gone. He messed that up. There's nothing for nobody to see. Who cares if he fights 2, 3, or 5 more fights? We don't care. What are we gaining if he fights 5 more fights?
Right.
Well, the fact is that he's been getting, because he's not a citizen here. This citizenry is what kills these guys. These foreign guys who don't pay taxes in their countries get away with that, and they're being killed here. And there's a possibility of a Mayweather, and I'll tell you why. This is Mayweather's quote and unquote last week. He says, I have Pacquiao. Remember, Doc, we were at the press conference. He denied talking about Pacquiao. He denounced he didn't want to talk about Pacquiao. Now he comes up with a statement that says, Pacquiao is on my radar screen for the next four remaining fights. One, the only reason I would fight him if Pacquiao does this. Now hold on to your hats and put on your thinking caps. This is quote and unquote Mayweather. If you leave Top Rank and you put yourself on the money team promotion, I promote you, then you and I will fight. If you don't do that, well, then you and I will never fight. So, you know, he's fanning the fire of a possibility of Pacquiao win, lose, or draw. I mean, this is amazing how people play. But, I mean, the taxes, I know I read somewhere, Harold, correct me if I'm wrong, I read somewhere with a lot of foreign fighters who came here and made a lot of juice over here, but were citizens over there in their countries, and they were getting killed here because they made a lot of juice and took all that juice, boom, back to their country. That's the reason why, supposedly, I think, is why Pacquiao's getting killed. Now,
well,
Bob Arum is very slick, Pacquiao. Bob Arum is very slick. He took all of these promotions out into the Middle East where he garnered sold-out appearances. See, that Olympian, Hao Qiming, whatever his name is, 2 fights, this guy sold out the place. He got paid $400,000 for his pro debut, a 4-rounder. And he got paid something like $1,500 or $2,000. No, wait a minute. I think it was $3,000 or $4,000 for his second fight, professional fight, under Freddie Roach. And he's found a marketplace out in the Orient. So that's why they're moving out there. I mean, I don't know if that's the exact correction, but this is what I picked up to research, to commentary, to interviews. I mean, there's a money market out there. And it was corroborated this afternoon.
Let me just say this. There's no money. The money's here in the United States, okay?
Mm.
And if you don't come here and fight, then you ain't going to make no money in your home state. I mean, the Klitschko brothers pulling theirs off because they're heavyweight champion of the world, and they pull something that a lot of guys cannot pull. And one thing they established, and that's the other good part. My point is that you're not going to get in that situation unless they see you in the United States fight. And when you come to the United States and you can prove yourself to be a great fighter here, then you can go ahead and pull that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. Yes.
You're going to have to pay your taxes. I mean, you ain't going to get around it. Simple as that. They've been talking that same tone for, like I said, for the last 100 years, and nobody ever changed. Taxes ain't went down, and taxes have went up, and so just forget about it. And if you don't want to fight, then go on and get you a job. Simple as that. It's the bottom line with it. You ain't gonna make the government change nothing for no boxing, no sports, nobody. They're gonna keep their taxes the way it is.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely. But they killed the foreign guys because they're taking all the money out of here. But that's basically one of the reasons. But
is our dollars higher than their dollars in their country?
No, of course not. But they're taking all that kit and caboodle from here, you know, claiming foreign status, and they are tax breaks. And this is what the heck is happening. That's why Pacquiao now says, I'm not fighting the United States. I'm going to fight. I could promote here.
You know, my feeling about Pacquiao now, it don't even, like I said before, I don't even care if he fight or not, tell you the truth.
Right. He's on his way out anyway. Yeah.
What do you think about this fight, Dusty? You think Pacquiao's going to beat Rios?
I remember a few minutes ago I broke it down with Canelo and Mayweather. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 45-55 Rios. And I'll tell you why.
Really?
Because Rios, all the intangibles, you never, maybe Harold will agree or disagree, but you never recover really fully from a devastating knockout that Pacquiao suffered.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing. I mean, Harold, you know, when you went back into the studio, Harold said this, and now it's just amazing.
Why should it amazing? I was in that stupid ring 12 years. Harold probably been there 20 years. I mean, why should it be amazing? We've been hit. We've been punished. We've been injured. So we've seen guys knocked out. I've seen guys knocked out. I've seen guys knocked out in the gym.
Listen, if you guys know all that, then you should know that Canelo Alvarez is going to be Floyd Mayweather coming up behind him as first Lord. And I've been predicting for the last 2 months.
I'll let you guys. You guys have read, you know, a couple of articles that they've published on Pacquiao too, where they've said that, you know, he has shown signs too of pugilistic
dementia.
You know, and I think that's all relative
You can see that in sometimes in the mannerisms in which the way he responds or looks around.
Today.
Yeah.
Also, a little bit like when he was speaking at the podium today. I said, maybe it's just me. And then as he continued to speak, I kind of picked up a couple of things here and there. One of the things that I found interesting too, Doc, was you know how we always talk to Steve, and you know you always tell me that Steve is probably one of the few guys that kind of you feel like kind of keeps everything relevant and with you and kind of stays real to telling you what he really feels. And when I grabbed Steve on the side prior to him going on live, I said to him, I said, which one of these two guys do you think is actually going to win the fight? And you know what he told me? He said, you know what? I can't even make a determination with these two guys. They're both really good, but he's like, I don't know about Pacquiao. It's funny. You know, that was my thing with him. I said, I don't really know about Pacquiao. And he looked at me and said, you know what, I don't even really know. He said, I don't really know who's going to actually win this fight.
Well,
the late great Art Lewis Jr. said, Harold, I think this is interesting, you too, Dusty, that the wear and tear in boxing never was really displayed verbally by the late great Emil Griffith, because he said Emil's accent hid any verbal
signs of deterioration. Interesting. You said, you know, the
By the way, the correct medical term is dementia pugilistica.
Yeah.
Which, everybody knows what that is.
But, I don't know if you guys could kind of catch it, Harold. He's the guy that you fought that you could actually kind of catch it. And, it's not someone you knocked out, unfortunately, but, you know.
You know, Tommy Hearns?
When I hear Tommy Hearns speak, it's obvious
with Tommy. You know,
yeah, you could kind of sense that.
But there's no question. Somebody with intellect, you know, as you people have, you can see. I mean, and who've been around these guys. The one guy, you know, and say something, Harold, you know, with Dusty's show, we know Dusty's crazy. But really, you, Dusty, and, you know, and Ray Leonard is another, and Duran. There's really no signs of boxing deterioration or the term that Mel just used in those guys, but Lady A, Tommy Hearns is a perfect example.
You got to understand something here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Understand that the scientific breakdown of a person getting beat up and battered, and mind you, we have a certain amount of fights in the ring, paid fights, but nobody thinks about the thousands of rounds that we sparred in the gym.
I could tell you that
I've been bounced around. I had 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 fights. They're not talking about the ones inside the ring in the gym. That's all, you know. Let me lay this plain out to you. What you got to understand is that you have a gray matter, a brain, that is housed in what's called an aqueous solution. And that aqueous solution, which houses and protects the brain, is bouncing off your brick-like skull. And capillaries rupture. You bounce back and forth. Sugar Ray Leonard may not be showing dementia, but Sugar Ray Leonard does stutter at times and shows, and you can tell the dude was a fighter by his verbal.
A lot of these guys,
you can tell. But because I mean, could you tell with me? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that your brains are bouncing all over the place, and it wasn't made to be bounced, man.
Dusty, I was gonna say this. You know who else is headed in the same direction? If he keeps fighting all these fights that he fights, bam, bam, he's headed in the same direction. That fight with Mike Alvarado, you saw how many shots he took. I'm not even talking about the second one.
Yeah, he took shots, but you may think he's heading in that direction, but Bam Bam was very articulate today. I mean, very clear.
But
and
I'm telling you, if he keeps fighting the fights he's fighting, Dusty, he's going to be right there.
We don't know. That's a prediction without a really basic foundation. We don't know. But we do know, like Floyd Mayweather says, you don't go into that ring like Hopkins says. You don't go into that ring to trade punches. You go out there to outclass your opponent. This is how you last long, to outclass and box and keep away from getting hit.
Harry, you could agree with me or not on this, but I think Arturo Gatti is a perfect example, because had he continued to fight the way that he was fighting, he might have been headed in the same direction. I mean, God rest his soul now, you know, but that, I mean, I think had Buddy McGirt not changed his fighting style, he might have been headed in the same direction.
Well, you know, all those things are relative. Like I'm saying, you know, it depends. But, yes, these guys took a lot of shots. Yes, these guys suffered from basic normal injuries in boxing. You know, and you know, there are times that you can tell. Does it have to take a person who's in the ring, who's been in the ring, to notice the other? I don't know. But they do. But, I mean, Pacquiao, you know, suffered a devastating knockout. I mean, look at Paul Williams when he came back and he fought Arislandi Lara.
Lara beat
the crap out of him. Beat the crap out of him. Paul Williams was gun-shy. No matter what he tried to do, Lara beat him to the punch, and they gave him the fight. You know, you always wonder, too, what would have happened if he had not gotten hurt and he fought Canelo Alvarez. Oh, wow.
Well, another example would be Roy Jones.
Roy Jones didn't get hit that much.
Let me say one thing. Roy Jones is feeling it. He's feeling his punches. Any guy that never had a defense, and that's quite a few of these guys, they get hit quite a bit in a real – as they move up in boxing. They're going to have damages. As great as our great Sugar Ray Robinson was, he had no decent, and he got nailed all the time. That's a company, you know, he had all times like he did. You know, I mean, you just don't go into this sport and take these shots and think you're going to come out of it all nilly willy, as my man Seth the Entertainer says. My point is that, you know, you got these guys, unfortunately, don't have trainers that knows how to give them the technique or the teaching how to, you know, put their defense together and learn how to block punches. I mean, putting the gloves up around your face and letting the guy hit you, stupid. I mean, the thing is, you got to try to change it by ducking and blocking and things like that. But these guys are not doing it. That's because you got your voice. If you listen to Roy Jones, you see that he can't speak that well. You listen to your boy Paulie Marginotti, he's going that way. And Tommy's that way because, I mean, they fought tough fights. Unfortunately, they fought tough fights. In a way,
and
Tommy fought, he was more offense than defense. He ain't had no defense. It was all offense.
Exactly.
That was the whole thing.
Harold, looking at Pacquiao, he's the same way too, Harold, too, you know?
There are a few guys in the game today that bring you defense. Hold on a second. I think Cincinnati Seaways came back and was an F-4-1. You joined us back again?
No, that's not. It's not. It's not him. Me, Cisco.
You know who's going to come out of this game and fought a lot of fights and was champion and all that? One, the guy that knocked out Manny Pacquiao. Because he had a defense.
Marquez.
And everybody will say, what happened there?
I'm going to go, Doc. I got to get out of here, Doc. I'm going to say bye to everybody in the panel.
Okay,
Doc.
All right, Harry. Be good.
All right, Harold. Everybody, take care. I'll see y'all. All right, I'll see y'all
First
later.
Lady,
okay, bye.
Sports in depth. First Lady of Boxing, always giving us on the weekend feel. She slides away. The legendary, the lovely, incomparable, the one and only. 88. And what's in that? Straight back. Cisco finished fighting back up with us. First break. And he's at the half hour.
Doc, I want to make a point before you bring Cisco into our boxing discussion, if I may, a brief one.
Hold on a second, and you know where he's coming from. And also, see, that's the hooster. Taking it down low, off the dribble, hard to the hoop. Cisco Peters back here with us real quick, and we've got it at his intro. Don't say another word, Rooney, because he'll be upset because he will see that you are blocking his entrance. He wouldn't be happy about that, so we got to let him see that we haven't forgotten him. He's here, baby. From across the brown field, he can take you down low off the dribble, slam the rebound, or just simply say the dig. The hoopster has joined us here on Sports and Depth on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The man who tells it like it is. Rooney, what you got to say, baby?
Doc, I know I'm making brief, Doc, and I'm sure the panel will concur. But, Doc, I just wanted to say that in regard to those brain injuries or what have you, anybody who plays professional contact sports, there will be a price to pay, usually at the end of your career in some form or fashion. I'm talking about professional wrestlers, professional kickboxers, professional boxers, professional football players, anything that has to do with, contact sports on a pro level, it usually is some type of a price to pay as a result of those loans at the end of the career. The severity of which, I guess, depends on individual careers, but there usually is some price to pay at the end of your career to those of us who play both sports.
You can't keep taking that somewhere close. Let's take a quick look into the world of sports, and we know Alex Rodriguez will be fighting the ban that has imposed against him, and he still remains the biggest draw in all of sports in the Jet Camp. guess who that dude? Mark Sanchez threw an INT in practice. Mark Sanchez threw an INT in practice and got booed. You know,
Did you hear about him though? They're already starting on that in their preseason game against the Lions.
Oh well, I mean, you know, listen. We understand that Sanchez and Ryan have a relationship. We understand that somewhere along the line, Sanchez is the favorite son. I think the Cincinnati Sea Wings said everybody knows that Sanchez has a short leash now. Before his time was unlimited, excuses all validated. Now he has none. I mean, they're gonna let him hang himself. But I mean, Cincinnati Sea Wings said the other day that for all intents and purposes, where the camp was going, and if Sanchez was a 7.5, and Gino was an 8, they still were going to lean toward Sanchez. So that's no surprise. But the idea is this year they're not going to sink and swim with him. Okay, they're not going to live and die with Sanchez. And this time he's going to swim alone and wind up drowning. Akeem Nicks, he says he was ready to play Big Blue on Sunday. And what you talk about is a long time. He just can't seem to stay on the field.
On the field.
Know.
Great receiver can't stay on the field.
He's injury. If practice is great. He has a hard time in practice, but we'll keep an eye on him. Also, always well wishes to the great Jerry Reese. Tigers won their ninth straight beat Indians last night. This kid Powell, Black Powell, seemed to be opening a lot of eyes and getting some very favorable reviews in the Jet camp. So we'll see what's happening to him as the week progresses in pro football. Look at some other names here, and they're all amazing. They're all seem to be Latin, though. Well, that's another Yankee that was on the list as we look at some of the names, Antonio Bastadio, Fernando Martinez, Jesus Materio. We know about Johnny Perez. Even the Yankees, their catcher. I mean, everybody's talking about everybody on the Yankees, but Francisco Cervelli is another one that has been handed down. But A-Rod, a marked man, but the most remarkable man in all the sports right now. Wherever he is, you can be sure there's a sellout. By the way, you can put in the deal. We talked about that about 15, 20 minutes ago, and it's sad and touching, is how I would say. A point well taken, though, that me and Rooney have made. It seems that we may have seen the last of the great Barry Sanders and Jeter. I think maybe he's lucky to be in the right league where he can DH, but he, at 39 years old, outside of being Ozzie Smith, he can't play the position anymore like he used to. Maybe he played for first base, maybe he can be a DH. But for all intents and purposes, I've always said this, he wears number two, but he's second to none as a person and as a player. He's everything Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, everything Mickey Mantle wasn't. And that's a real live American hero. We salute once again the birthday boy, the great Patrick Ewing, who had a birthday yesterday, and of course the day before that, none other than our president Barack Obama. Looking at some football across the world, as you know, Pelé was in town the other day. The greatest football of them all, as they said, simply the best of all time, and the best that ever will. Cristiano Ronaldo. They say he's gaining on Messi, the great player of football from Portugal. And there was a fight at the press conference. Said that what he likes so much about him is his air of confidence and arrogance. And he's been a great player. And I guess you have to have some swagger. And once again, we go back to that great article written about this whole A-Rod thing. Rufo Rodriguez, league's power grab makes it tempting. Some of the things that was brought out by William C. Roden, one of only 22 African-American sports columnists in all of the world and in America, and the number one African-American sportscaster, the number one paper in the United States, the New York Times. He brought us some tremendous things. A-Rod thing, he says, there are no vials of evidence, there are no eyewitnesses to Rodriguez's alleged performance-enhancing drugs. Investigators have the word of two questionable characters connecting to Biogenesis, one of whom the former owner, Anthony Bosch, once impersonated a doctor. He also talked about that A-Rod has never failed a drug test,
then how could the Players Association allow Rodriguez to be kicked out of the baseball and remain credible? And he talked, too, about the fact that how, I said this, too, how baseball seemed to really turn on Alex. 5 years ago, he was the two-time MVP. He was the guy that was going to rescue the world from bad black Barry Bonds. He was going to be the all-time home run king and set things straight and awry in the white world. And now that he's failed, well, they're attacking him big time. Tiger Woods, who once again will go into a major coming off a win. He's won 5 times this year. He's number one golfer in the world. I think there's no question he'll end the year that way. But the question is, when will Tiger win another major? Hasn't won one in 5 years. This is fifth win of the year. We'll be watching him. The PGA kicks off on Thursday. A very heartwarming story in the PGA is one of the golfers that got into the PGA. We're talking about a club pro. Hit a miracle red shot to qualify, and now he aims to make noise in the PGA. Rob Labritz, made a incredible shot to win the tournament. And right now, he is one of the guys who's in. We'll be playing against the likes of Mickelson, Upper Roy, and also the incomparable and the legendary Tiger Woods. Okay, we got ourselves a good amount of time here left. Oh, and we've been talking boxing. Cisco, you're on location. You're back in the studio. The consensus, I think everybody, is that you talked about earlier, it's a must-win fight for Pacquiao. But as we go on the scope, and you talked to about Cotto coming back top rank, and I think everybody else concurred with you, it was the best possible deal. What happens to could we have, okay, shoot to the panel, could we have, if Cotto wins, and could we have if Pacquiao wins, could we have Cotto Pacquiao again, Cisco, you think?
Hey, anything is possible, you know. They both seem like they're trying to cash out. So, you know, at the end of the day, he's making deals with Top Rank. And, you know, I mean, what is Top Rank going to say? No. You know, I mean, it's a fight that, you know, it's a fight that's possibly can happen. I mean, you got an organization in Top Rank that pretty much keeps everything in their staple, just like Golden Boy does. So, you know, that's what you're seeing. You know, you're just seeing these guys put on fights that are benefiting themselves. And actually, Golden Boy is winning this situation because they're actually signing more fighters as time goes on. They're actually putting together better fights. If you look at it, they got this Showtime deal. How many fights have they put back to back? Where Top Rank is slowly losing that battle. It's gonna come to a point where Top Rank or either Top the Buff is gonna have to turn around and start making deals with Golden Boy to be able to make lucrative fights. Because how much more time are we gonna have with this kind of situation going on?
You know what?
These guys don't want to match each other's fighters.
Can I say something, fellas? There was a time, okay, that black fighters could not fight in Madison Square Garden. Okay?
Why, Harold? Why? Why?
Because of the issue that we was in. It was, you know, blacks just couldn't go there. Black fighters couldn't go there, and that was
really?
What it was. And what happened was, let me give you a point. Let me tell you what happened. There was a fighter that was fighting, was knocking everybody out. And they had no choice because he was pulling up the place where he was living at. The place was packed. And they had to finally open up the door to have him in because they was hearing all about him. Because, you know, when a fighter fought back in those days, the news got out real quick.
What was his name, Al?
His name was Joe Louis.
Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. You cannot chop this. I mean, I'm done. You know, what did I say? You learn something every second. Not only is it sports in depth, it's the world in depth, it's knowledge. And Harold's point is so valid because, you know, there was questions about Joe getting the shot at the title. They were leaning toward Max Melling
the German over the black guy. They were leaning towards Max Smelling, and there was questions that maybe they had done the wrong thing. And Joe only got the title shot, giving Braddock 10% of his purse for the next 10 years. Go ahead, Harold.
Well, the thing was, too, that you got to understand, too, Joe was the second African-American who wins the heavyweight championship of the world behind Jack Johnson, okay? And then when he won the title, he held on to, you know, the big, you know, the White Hope thing came about. and my point is that I don't care how many fighters a promoter has. If I got a fighter that's packing the place up in his hometown, and the word gets out, and he's knocking people out he can fight, you can believe me, the networks is about money. And if the people start screaming, young, I don't care who, that fighter is going to get put on the network quickly because he's a draw and he can fight. You know, like I said, they try that whole, that's what's so funny about this sport today is that these guys got this little thing clicking with these promoters and thinking they're going to block people out. You can't block nobody out when you got the best. If you went, you got the best fighter going and everything, there's no blocking out. You just got to say, hey, here they come. Simple as that. Here they come.
Yeah, but what these guys are doing is matching their fighters, their staple of fighters, against the best fighters they have. That's what they're doing.
And that ain't nothing because, really, if there was somebody, we all would know their names. And I don't know nobody's name except Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
You know, it's amazing, you know, that you talk about you know, how Joe was blacked out and became such a fight fan. She became such a revered figure. And your Tommy Kimville and Harold talks about the racism against boxers. It was the same thing in college basketball. You know, it was said by certain friends that, you know, blacks couldn't play at the high level because college basketball was bigger than pro basketball. And Oscar Palmer Robinson, my man, the first game Oscar Robinson ever played in Madison Square Garden, he scored 56 points at a time where they had no clock. And check this out. The 56 points was more than the entire other team scored. Gosh damn. Shazam, shazam. Gentlemen, hold tight. Rooney, bring us out real quick so we can talk a little bit. And Mel, go, Sel Smith Jr., do you have something to say, young man? Rooney, we need you to close this out.
He's not on.
And he's in the studio. Okay. Well, without further ado, this is Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network, leaving you with three thoughts. Live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is meant to pay for your space here on Earth. They're all here. The legends that live. Dusty, H. Rep Brown, X. Junior, Francisco, the Cisco Kid, Guzman, Mel, Cosell, a.k.a. Little Rooney, a.k.a. Little Joe Smith Jr., Double Barrel, Harold Weston Jr., The Hoopster, Lewis Hoopster Hart, Cincinnati, She-Wings, a.k.a. Miss NFL 411, and Nate D. Berger Baseball, and of course, the First Lady of SIND Sports, the one and only, the legendary Lady A. We close out and let you know that Chipito's, Sally Bowser Restaurant, Marina Park, Sabajada's legendary hotel by my good friend Justino, and DCJ Productions have brought you this portion of Sports and Death. And with that, we will let Marvin Gaye have his say as we say goodnight and get on our way. Ladies and gentlemen, be with us tomorrow, and we will be back tomorrow. And, of course, it's the Sunday Sports Wrap right here on Sports and Death, Blessed to God, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And with that, Marvin Gaye will take it away and have his say. God bless you all, and good night. And
good night.
Good night. really cares? Save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time,
there'll come a time,
when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow,
flowers won't grow, no,
bells won't be ringing.